11, Deuteronomy 11. Tonight I said I would preach on all this in heaven too. And, you know, a lot of people look at the Christian life, I did before I was saved, as a life of misery and sacrifice and woe and dread. And boy, you can't have no fun if you're going to be a Christian and you can't enjoy life, when really it's just the opposite. It's just the opposite. And so tonight I want to talk to you just a little bit, Deuteronomy 11. And, of course, the Lord is speaking to the children of Israel, but it applies to us also. And watch out for those people that say the Old Testament don't apply to us. There's some, if you rightly divide the Word of God, there's a lot in there for you, robbing yourself not reading it, okay? I'm going to read a long passage, so I need you to bear with me, okay? I want you to follow me along. If you don't have a Bible, just listen. But I've got to read the whole thing. Really, it's not the whole thing, but this much of it to get you understanding, okay? So Deuteronomy 11, start with verse 7. But your eyes have seen all the great acts of the Lord which he did. Therefore shall you keep all the commandments which I command you this day, that you may be strong and go in and possess the land whither you go to possess it, and that you may prolong your days in the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give unto them and to their seed, a land that floweth with milk and honey. For the land whither thou goest in to possess it is not as the land of Egypt from whence ye came out, where thou wouldest sow thy seed and waterest it with thy foot as a garden of herbs. But the land whither you go to possess it, it is a land of hills and valleys, and drinketh water of the rain of heaven. A land which the Lord thy God careth for. The eyes of the Lord thy God are always upon it, from the beginning of the year even unto the end of the year. And it shall come to pass, if ye shall hearken diligently unto my commandments, which I command you this day, to love the Lord your God, and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul, that I will give you the rain of your land in his due season, the first rain and the latter rain, that thou mayest gather in thy corn and thy wine and thine oil. And I will send grass in thy fields for thy cattle, that thou mayest eat and be full. Take heed to yourselves, that your heart be not deceived, and you turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. And then the Lord's wrath be kindled against you, and he shut up the heavens, there to be no rain, and that the land yield not her fruit, lest ye perish quickly from off the good land which the Lord giveth you. Therefore shall ye lay up these my words in your heart and in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be as frontlets between your eyes. And you shall teach your children, speaking of them, when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest in the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up, and shalt write them upon the doorpost of thine house and upon thy gates, that your days may be multiplied, and the days of your children in the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give them, look at the last part, as the days of heaven upon the earth. Boy, what a passage.
Amen. In the Old Testament, you need to remember when God is speaking to the children of Israel that Egypt always represents the world and the power of the world and even the good things of the world that they used wrongly. And when he speaks of Israel and the promised land, that's a type of heaven itself. And he's telling the children of Israel here, he said, look here, not only am I going to give you good days in heaven, but I'm going to give you good days on earth like you're already in heaven. Now, most people, when you talk about Christianity, they say, well, are y'all looking for that pie in the sky? I said, yeah, I get a little pie now, too. Amen? Just because you're Christian doesn't mean that every day's hard, doesn't mean every day you've got to struggle, doesn't mean every day you've got to weep and cry. God's give us some good days. Amen? Amen. And when talking to the children of Israel, I can't help but see the comparison between what he did for Israel and what he's done for our country. You can't help it. God blessed Israel because Israel blessed God. And God has blessed America because because America has blessed God. And so when you're loyal to him, he's loyal to you. Amen. And he causes the sun to shine on the just and the unjust. Everybody lives in the same world, but God favors his children. Do y'all understand that? We don't have to feel sorry for ourselves. We should let other people feel sorry for us. Say, don't feel sorry for me. I'm a child of the king, man. I own everything God owns. I'm going to inherit the earth. I'm going to rule and reign with him for 1,000 years. And then I'm going to be in heaven. And then I'm coming back to the new earth that he's going to create. And I'm going to reign like kings and priests. Don't feel sorry for me. You better look at yourself. Amen. Amen. God's been good to us. Even when we were lost, we didn't get what we deserved. Amen. And living in America, we've lived in a little bit of heaven on earth just living in America. And you need to go bump that thermostat up 1 degree. These women are starting to get goosebumps so big I can see them. And he's having a good time. He works in 20-degree weather. You know. But in our land, God has really blessed this land. Why? Because this land, this country, has sent out more missionaries, printed more Bibles, won more people to Jesus Christ than any other country that's ever existed on planet Earth. Even Israel itself, where the church was founded and formed, there have been more people saved through the church of this country than there was the church of that country. Now, God blesses that. God blesses some of us who grew up without God. We didn't know anything about God. Well, we still reaped from the benefits of those who were faithful to God, and God blessed them, and we just got a little bit of runoff. Amen? Amen. And we had a job, had a good economy, because of what the believers had done for God and what God was doing for them, we got to enjoy some of their blessings just by being around them. Amen? Amen. You ever thought about what sinners get just by being around you as a saint? If you're right with God, God's going to bless you. If he blesses you, there's going to be people around you that get blessed. Amen? A good employer who's a Christian. God will bless his business, and because his business blessed, he can hire sinners and give them a job. Amen? And so when you look at the Bible, don't look at it. We talk about take thy cross, you know, and we talk about bearing the burden, you know. And we talk about suffering for Christ, and all those things are true at one time or another in our life. We do all those things. But the majority of our Christian life, God gives us a whole lot of good stuff. Amen? Yes. I got up this morning. I had something to eat. The power went out while I was up. About 15, the Duke Power said 1,550 people lost their power this morning. Was y'all's on over there? Ours went out. Y'all must be living right. We got more sinners in our area than you do. But the power went out. But hey, I've got indoor. Hey, the greatest thing I ever knew growing up, and a grown man before I knew it, central heat. Only rich people had central heat when I was growing up. Amen? The rest of us cut wood, gathered coal, or poured oil. Amen? You remember many times you're going out smelling like old stinking oil or covered in black coal dust, amen? Or got splintered all over you where you had to haul in the heat, amen? And then your house wasn't insulated. They didn't even start insulating houses in the South until about 1975. I remember sitting right over here in Rock Hill Home, no insulation, sit there and the wind be blowing and watch your curtains move in the wintertime when the wind's had a heater, but it was down the hall, Brother Jeff. Wasn't no heat getting up to the living room for that hall. and many, hey, God, he's been so good. Even when we were lost, he was good. He could let you die and go to hell not even knowing the truth. And hey, he could let you be born in a country to where the heathens rule, the Muslims, Islam, bunch of devils. Amen? Well, preacher, you're a preacher. Sure I am. He is too. Amen? When it comes to religion, there ain't but one. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man come to the Father but by me. That makes me prejudiced for Jesus. Amen? I am. Call me a bigot if you want to. If that's what the bigot is, I am. I can't help it because I'm a child of God. What else should I say? You'd be denying the truth to say anything else.
That's right.
Amen. So God blessed Israel. And he said, now here's why I blessed you. Because you obeyed the commandments. He said, now you walk in those commandments and you obey them. And I'm going to supply your needs. But more than that, I'm going to give you a land like nobody else has got. Better than Egypt. Richer than Egypt. And it's flowing with milk and honey. And all you got to do is go in and possess it. I've already cleared it out for you. You obey my commandments and I'm going to take care of you. And you'll have that's what he said right there. You'll have a little bit of heaven on earth.
Amen.
Ain't that good? I mean, you ain't never been so rich in your life. You didn't grow up like that. Amen? But now we got a little bit of heaven on earth. And God's took care of us. And hey, he didn't just save us, but he keeps us. And he blesses us, and he gives us beautiful grandchildren named after the prophet Eli. And boy, 20 years ago, nobody thought you'd be in that position. Amen? But you begin to obey the Lord, you begin to follow the Lord, and then the Lord begins to bless you. Amen?
Amen.
By the way, it does the same for church congregations. When they obey the Lord, he blesses them. Now, I'm not just talking about numerically. Y'all didn't know I could say that being from Lancaster, did you? Hey, I'm not just talking about numbers. Hey, I'm talking about he blesses them. He takes care of them. I don't know another church that ever started that never needed anything other than this one right here. I've been in on starting 4 churches. I've helped start churches when I was younger. And I've never known a church to get started and stay debt-free for 11 years. And have money in the bank. And pay the bills. And have a full-time pastor. And now got a good choir director. And now got a good piano player. Well, whatever that thing is up there. There ain't no piano. It's a machine. Anyway, he makes it sound like a piano. And I've never known another church to start from scratch and do that. Amen? I've known a lot of them get going and then try to do something outside the will of God and fall. There used to be a church in Chester, Faith Baptist Church. I think it's still there. But it started off, this old preacher, he started it, and filled it up. Some of y'all might remember, Allroyd, y'all might remember Faith Baptist Church. It was down on the bypass for years and years. It was a nice church for years and years, nice church building. It grew and it grew, and they had a bus ministry, and they had winning souls, and church was growing, and they made a big mistake. The pastor decided it was time to start a Christian school. Now, I'm not against Christian schools, but he shouldn't have started one. Not with that church, not the condition they were in financially. And he started, so you know what they had to do? They had to sell bonds. Do y'all remember people selling church bonds? No, y'all young people wouldn't remember that. Churches would get, all it was a company would come up and print up these bonds for you, and they'd say, put it in our bank account and sell these. Get people to give you $100 for this bond or whatever and tell them you're going to build a church and then within 10 years from now you're going to pay them back. Well, most of those never got paid back. And that church went into terrible debt. Then they called in people to teach in the school who didn't agree with what they believed in the first place. So that worked against the church. Then they called in more teachers and administrators because the school began to boom. And it was outgrowing the church. And so they called in more administrators and more teachers who didn't agree with the Baptist faith. They were Christians, but they were not Baptists, so things began to happen there. And then pretty soon, people don't pay their tithes like they ought to. People don't give like they have to in order to support all this stuff. And now people's calling in their bonds. They're saying, we bought bonds from y'all 10 years ago and we ain't heard from you yet. Y'all supposed to be done paid us back by now. The old preacher got sick. He passed away. He went to heaven. The church went downhill. They had to tear the building down. It got so the city condemned the building. They had to tear it down and move into the schoolhouse. Now you listen to me. I'm going somewhere. I went to school with a young man named Mickey Barnes. He was my best friend. His family and my family became best friends. And when we graduated, he graduated then. Later on, I graduated. But this church called him. They had 20 people left. 20 people. You know what he did? He went down there and he went to the treasury. He said, I want to see the books on those bonds. And he got the books, the records on those bonds. And week after week, he would get one of those bonds and he'd go to somebody's house that used to be a member of that church or somebody that bought some of those bonds. And he said, "You bought this from us 20 years ago and I'm here to work out paying it off." They said they'd give you money back and they didn't do it. And he went to everybody he could find and paid off those bonds for the whole world. Little old church, never got over 30 people after that. But I'm telling you, they were booming, they were in God's will, they were doing it the way God wanted them to do it. And all of a sudden, somebody smarter than God comes in. And they're not walking in the ways that he called them walking anymore. And God takes his hand off of it. And you can write Ichabod over the door when he does that. That means the glory has departed. And I've seen that over and over in churches. I've seen that in Christians' lives. I've seen that in preachers especially. They get out of God's will. They're going to do it their way. They got a better way. They got a new and improved model. Y'all heard of them, hadn't you? They call them generation something church. They call them emerging churches. They call them contemporary churches. They've got a better way. But I'm telling you, just hang around long enough, you're going to see in that kind of those groups, you're going to see God doesn't bless it, but only the way he commands it. Now, here we are. We're on earth. God's blessing us, and I am so glad he's blessing us. And there's some things that he gives us here that are just like some things he gives in heaven. Turn to Revelation 21, verse 4. Revelation 21, verse 4. That's my introduction. Y'all going to be here a long time. Revelation 21, 4. One of these days, if y'all ever want to get rid of me, sit up front, say amen, and shout while I preach. And when I get through, say, "Preach another one, I'll have a heart attack and die. You can get you a new preacher." Revelation 21, look at verse 4. "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." Did you know when we get to heaven, there's going to be perfect peace finally? Amen. Now, I know you don't, but I do. And I know you're a better Christian than I am. There ain't much doubt about that. But I know you got greater faith than I do. But sometimes I worry about things. Amen. Sometimes I lie awake at night and can't sleep. I get things on my mind that I ought to let God have. Yeah. When I can have perfect peace. If I let my mind stay on him, I'll have the perfect peace that he promised by my mind staying on him. But thank God one day I'm going to get to heaven where there ain't nothing but him. Amen. And all those former things are going to be passed away and there'll be nothing to disturb my peace once involved. Everybody wants it. Everybody wants that peace. Ask the guy that runs the liquor store why people buy liquor. They're looking for peace. Ask the guy that's selling drugs why they said, "Well, he ain't smart enough to know." But we know people doing dope, they're looking for peace. And all it does is give them a dull mind. It doesn't give them peace of the heart and the spirit. Amen? And tomorrow you wake up, it's just like it was. But that's not the way God promised it. Turn to Isaiah 26, verse 3. Isaiah 26, verse 3. Isaiah 26, verse 3. "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee." Now, we don't have to wait till we get to heaven to have peace. We can have it right here on earth. We can have a little bit of heaven on earth. Before you got saved, your life was total turmoil. And you got saved, and turmoil moved out, and peace moved in. And those of you who were really born again, you know exactly what I'm talking about. People would come up to you and say, "Man, what has happened to you? You used to be a bundle of nerves. We didn't know which way you was going to blow up next. And now here you are sitting peacefully, and you just seem like nobody bothers you. Nothing bothers you anymore." And you look at him, you smile, you say, "Well, I got my mind on the Lord."
Amen. Yeah.
Because when your mind's on him, you've got peace. since he's the Prince of Peace anyway, he brings peace. Now, some of you, before you were saved, you'd get in a fight at the drop of a hat. And some of you would drop the hat to fight. Amen? But then you got saved, and peace moved in. And when peace came in, all that hatred, all that anger, all of that envy and jealousy that caused you not to have peace went out the door that day. Amen? Amen. His profession was not true, but a pervert, I can't remember the guy's name, he made that old Hustler magazine. He made a profession of faith. He invited Billy Graham or somebody over to his house to talk to him about Jesus. He prayed a sinner's prayer and asked people to save him. And a newsman went to one of his contemporaries said, "What do you think about him asking Jesus to save him?" This is what the man said. I'll never forget it. It was on nightly news. He said, "When Jesus walked in, $5 million walked out." Because that man was making a killing off of pornography, see. And so his contemporaries thought he really got saved. Y'all still with me? And the same way with peace. When Jesus walked in, peace came in with him. Amen? Amen. You ought not be fussing, fighting, and cussing, and hollering all the time. You ought to have the peace of God which passes all understanding. We get deliverance from sin. I talked about it this morning. We're not going to go there because we don't have time. But I talked about it this morning. We get deliverance from sin. We don't just get forgiveness. We get deliverance from sin. Amen. He takes us out of sin. He separates us. He sanctifies us. That means He sets us apart. We're born into the family of God. We change families. We change futures. And all of it should have changed. Amen? When you get saved, you ought just not have perfect peace, and you ought not just be forgiven of sin, but you ought to realize you've got deliverance from sin. You don't have to do that. And as a child of God, every time we sinned, it was a choice we made. Now, when you was lost and going to hell, Jesus said, "The deeds of your father you're going to do, and your father's the devil." So if you were lost, you're just living like the devil because that was your daddy, the devil. But then you got adopted into the family of God, and now you ought to have that heavenly father traits, which is deliverance. I get tired of whining Christians.
Come on now.
Yeah. You ought to get you a backbone. Get you a spiritual backbone. When was the last time you saw an old-fashioned, blue-blooded, barrel-chested Christian man that stood up for what's right and said, "Come hell or high water, I shall not be moved. Like a tree planted by the water, I shall not be moved. Here I stand. I'm not going to be like that anymore. I don't have to be like that crowd anymore. God has delivered me." Amen. Come on, help me. Amen. Amen. And I hope you don't expect to find anything like that in heaven. The Bible says in heaven there is no sin. So why do you think as a child of God that you get to sin here if you're going to a place that's sinless? Well, the answer is you don't. There's no sin in heaven. So as Christians on earth, we'll have a little bit of heaven here and not have sin in our life. Well, preacher, I can't help it. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I don't have to live like that. I don't have to talk like that. I don't have to behave like that. I'm a child of the King. We've dumbed down Christianity so much. We brought it down so low and compromised so much on Christianity. Christians look like the world and act like the world, dress like the world, talk like the world, got the habits and the hobbies of the world. And now they've got, they're so biblically illiterate, they think like the world. They don't even know what they have in Christ Jesus. They don't know they have deliverance. You know why? The one preaching to them don't know it. The ones running their schools doesn't know it. The ones running their churches don't know it. They don't know enough Bible to be delivered. A bunch of them's going to get to heaven and say, "Whoa, I didn't know I was coming here." And a lot of us is going to look at them and say, whoa, we didn't know you were either. Listen, we don't have to be bound by anything. I said it this morning. I'm not going to turn there. I got a couple more after this. I'm trying to help you get out of here. I need a peanut butter and banana sandwich real bad. And that's my nightly peanut butter, banana, and whole milk. I'm a man. Don't give me that 2% stuff. That's sissy. I'm blue-blooded, barrel-chested. I don't need none of that 2%. That's like eating instant eggs. Amen. We've got freedom from fear. In Revelation 22 says there'll be no fear in heaven. What did I preach on the other week? Chickens. I said they're scared of everything. Chickens are scared of everything. You throw a rock and a pin and they all take off all different directions. You ever seen that? Rudy, you seen that? If you look at them wrong, they scare you. Amen? And we got a lot of Christians like that. Well, you know, I wouldn't talk like that if I was you about the devil. He might get in. I said, I ain't worried about him. My big brother will take care of him. Amen? Amen. Yeah. Amen. Amen. I'm not worried about the devil. He can't touch me unless Jesus lets him do it. Amen. I remember when I was growing up, I had one brother that done got slain in the spirit. My youngest brother was a year younger than me, Donnie. And we lived kind of out in the cornfields, you know, and there was a gang up the street in the neighborhood, and they'd come down there and they'd practice fighting on us. They did. There'd be about six of them. They'd beat the devil out of us. But, hey, I tell you what, though, if Big Brother Larry ever drove up in the yard, they scattered like chickens. He could have whooped six of them, and they knew it. All they had to do was drive up, boy, they'd take off. And I'll never forget, I was 15, and my mama had bought a car for me to take her back and forth to get groceries and stuff, and I had my license, and I snuck it out because she worked second shift, and me and the boys was cruising uptown Lancaster, you know, back when you used to cruise all the time. Steering wheel was that big, you know. And we was cruising uptown, you know, and we was waving at the girls and smiling, and we stopped at stoplights on Friday night. The football game had just ended, and traffic was crazy for Lancaster, and people was coming from the football stadium, you know, and these three boys jumped in my back seat at the stoplight. And they were three of the worst in town. Now, I've never been a fighter. I ain't never liked to fight. And I just don't like it. I don't like pain. I ain't never liked pain. Some of y'all not smart enough. Maybe you like pain. I don't know, but I didn't like it. And so I was a lover. I wasn't a fighter. And so they jumped in the back of my car and made me take them to a local restaurant. And the old boy sitting back just slapped me in the head, you know, a lot older than me, about 20 years old, in and out of jail, you know. What was I supposed to do, you know? And so I take him up there and I pull over and he slapped me around, daring me to hit him back, you know, and I'm scared to death. I'm 15, here's a 20-year-old boy, bigger than me and uglier than me and tougher than me, you know. And all three of them was back there making fun of me and the boys up front, you know. And then finally somebody said, "There's Larry!" Yeah. Both doors flew up and they took off both directions. All they had to do was see his hot rod pull up in that restaurant parking lot. Larry didn't have to do anything. Just threatened to be there. Amen? Amen. And I got a big brother now named Jesus. And when the devil crowd gets on me and they start slapping me around, I just send Big Brother after them. Amen? Amen. Now, when I get to heaven, I'm going to be in his presence forever and ever, and I'll never have to worry again. I'll never fear again. Amen. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. Sometimes I do fear down here, but never when my mind is on Christ. In heaven, there'll be no more fear. Thank God. All we got to do now is say cancer. That's all you got to say, cancer. People get scared to death. I've had it here. I've had it here. And a lot of us, as we get old, we have these skin cancers and stuff. But it's not in us. But all somebody's got to do is say cancer, and it scares people to death. But, you know, I remember when Tommy Owens got cancer. And he sat in here. I found him sitting on that back porch one day. And he was crying so hard he couldn't breathe. He hadn't eaten all day. He talked to the doctor that morning. And I said, "Brother," it was during the week, and I was the only one, you know, over here. I said, "What are you doing back here?" He said, "Brother Ron, I'm going to die." I said, "What?" He said, "I'm going to die." I said, "Well, congratulations." He said, "What?" I said, "You get to see Jesus before I do." He said, "But I'm going to die." I said, "Well, all of us is going to die." He said, "But they only gave me 6 months to live." I said, "I might not have but a week." I said, "I might die tomorrow. You never know. Car wreck or just go in my sleep." That's the way I want to go, by the way. And go in my sleep. Who knows? We don't know. We're not promised tomorrow. It's appointed to every man. And boy, we talked that thing over and talked that thing over. And we came in here and we got down that altar and he cried out to God and he emptied it all on the Lord, you know. And I said, "Now tell him, Tommy, whatever happens, you're going to trust him from here on." And he told him that and he got up. I said, "How you doing?" He said, "I'm all right now." And he never feared again. He never feared again. And what, Rudy lived a year maybe? I don't know. Maybe he lived a year. But he never feared death again. When he realized what he had in Christ, he realized, "What do I have to be afraid of? The worst thing can happen to me is my body die, and to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, and he's going to give me a new body one day."
Amen.
We shouldn't fear death. Amen. We shouldn't fear people.
Right.
We shouldn't fear circumstances if all things work together for the good of them that love God. Amen.
Amen.
I've told you this story, and CJ's not here to write. Is CJ here tonight? I thought I saw her earlier. But she's not here tonight to tell you that. No, is she back there? Anyway, she numbers my stories. Maybe she could tell you the number. I've told y'all all my... Did y'all not know I've told y'all all my stories? She could have told you that one. She could have told you that story. Listen, we don't need to fear death because the worst thing can happen to us is we get to go to heaven.
Amen.
And people threaten us with death. And people threaten our lives and they threaten our well-being. But we don't have to be... What shall I fear if I trust Him?
Amen.
By the way, I'd rather him be sitting there than behind a bar. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Listen, so we've got perfect peace. We've got deliverance from sin, just like in heaven. We've got freedom from fear, just like going to heaven. And then turn to 1 Thessalonians 4:17. 1 Thessalonians 4:17. I might have to stop at the store and buy some bananas. I don't even have any. 1 Thessalonians 4:17. That's what Elvis ate. That's why he sang so good. It's true. I'll tell you a story about Elvis since I called his name. Dr. Jack Hiles was one of my heroes. He's one of my heroes. I still listen to his sermons. I watch him on YouTube. I read his books. I still do. I met him in person many times. All my children, he signed their Bibles, every one of my children. They heard him in person. We'd go a long way to hear. He was one of my heroes. And he said, of course, his church was 30 miles from Chicago. I've been up there many times. And he said at pastor school one year when all the preachers were there, he said that he was in Chicago at the bank, and it was in one of those big, tall buildings in Chicago. He said, and I went and I got on the elevator, and I was going up to like the 40th floor, you know. And he said, on the way up, it stopped. And a man stepped on the elevator. He said, this was 1970-something, early 70s. He said, I looked at him and I said out loud without thinking about it, "Elvis Presley." He turned around and said, "That's right. That's right." He said, "You're Dr. Hiles." He said, "Elvis Presley knows Dr. Hiles?" He said, "Yeah, I've heard about you. I know you." Of course, Dr. Hiles' church had 30,000 in Sunday school. How could you be around Chicago and not know that? And he said, "Well, how are you doing, Elvis?" He said, "Well, I'm here getting some bank stuff done, and I'm singing over here." And he said, Dr. Hiles said this. He said, "Y'all know that I never meet anybody that I don't ask them before we part if they know sure they're going to heaven." He said, so we talked a little bit, small talk, and then finally He said, well, I'm going to have to get off on this floor. He said, wait a minute, Mr. Preston, I want to ask you one question. He said, what's that, Dr. Hiles? He said, do you know for sure if you died right now, you'd go to heaven? And he said, Elvis started crying. And he said, Pastor, I grew up in a Christian home. He said, my grandma, I lived with her and she took me to church. He said, I learned how to sing at church. And I sang at church. I sang the old hymns. And I got saved when I was a little boy. I got saved. I asked Jesus to save me. He said, but I'll be honest, Dr. Hiles, I'm a long way from where I ought to be. But I know if I died right now, I'm going to heaven.
Amen.
Amen. Now you can hear him sing Peace in the Valley. Amen. Amen. I wouldn't advise you to hear everything he's saying, but you can listen to that one. Amen. Heaven is a place to be. Amen. And you never know. 1 Thessalonians 4:17 says that then we which are alive remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Turn to Matthew 28:20, and I'm about through. Matthew 28:20. I'm talking about the presence of the Lord. Look at verse 20. He says, teaching them to observe. I'm sorry, I got the wrong verse, didn't I? I'm sorry. Matthew 28:20. All right. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I command you. Here it is. And lo, I am with you. What? Even unto what? The presence of Jesus Christ. He said, now you teach them what I told you, the commandments, and you teach them to obey them, and I'll be with you. That's the presence of the Lord. He's with us right now. Did you know you don't have to wait till you get to heaven to have the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ? Brother Ron was working this week. He showed up in his car. Van. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I've had him show up with me all kinds of places. Amen. Usually the best place is when you're all alone, and it's usually when you're at your lowest as he shows up. But boy, I've had him come in. Hey, I've been in churches where I knew he walked in the room. I've been in church services where I felt his presence. Everybody did. He walked in the room, and everybody knew that God had showed up. Well, if you've never had that experience, you need to seek that, because he's with you. You don't have to go to heaven to have him with you. But when you get there, he's going to be all over the place. Amen?
Amen.
Now, it'd be a hard Christian life if he was not with us here. But we sing that song today. He walks with me and he talks with me. You know, there's a lot of ignorant people that think there is no God. How would that feel at the graveyard of a loved one? How would that feel at the hospital when you was getting operated on for cancer if you didn't believe in Jesus Christ? Lonely, terrible, depressing time. I've walked in the hospital rooms with people dying or near death or in terrible tragedies, and walk in the room, and we forget that he's with us. And when you walk in the room, the lost sinner realizes he just came in the room. And they'll say things like this, I'm so glad you came. You have comforted me. And what we need to say is, no, I'm not the comforter, but he came with me.
Amen.
Well, I've walked into homes where people have passed away, lost people, rough families. And here's how you can tell. Now, I don't know. Some of y'all don't know about rednecks. I grew up one, you know, most of us have. And some of you grew up in Valley Girls and Michigan Lake people and hillbillies. And that's redneck, too. What am I saying? California stuff, you know, more Michigan. Y'all got to outnumber us. And maybe you don't know, but boy, when a redneck dies, everybody comes to the house. Did you hear? I didn't say everybody. I said everybody. Everybody comes to the house. And boy, they got food and stuff, you know, and they sitting around. Of course, they're drinking or smoking something, whatever they do. But many times, I've The first time it ever happened to me and Brother Jason Coley, our pastor, that our mother church, one of the bus kids' parents had died, and I asked the church, would they get up food and take these people, because these people were pitiful. They were so in sin. They were so poor, and it was just such a terrible experience for them to have this death. And so we got up food from the ladies at the church. They all fixed up food for that bus kid's family. That kid rode our church bus from here to Charlotte every Sunday. And so they got up, and I said, me and my wife take it. And the pastor said, me and my wife's going with you. I'd never had a pastor do that. And I'd done a lot of stuff for bus kids, and I'd never had a pastor do one thing. And so they got in the car, and we got in the car, and I drove, and we went over here off Green Street. And you don't know nothing about Green Street. I just tell you, there might be some fear if you go over there. But but we went over there, you know, around Carolina Avenue. It was daylight. And thank God. And, and we had all this food in trunk. And so people's all out in the yard, you know, and they smoking different stuff, and they all got a beer can or liquor in a cup, you know, and they're real loud, you know how a redneck funeral is, you know. And we get out, and we're dressed just like this. We're not like these new hippie preachers. We didn't spike up our hair and tear up our blue jeans and put on flip-flops. We want to look like people of God. And so... So we got the food out, and we was carrying it in. As we was walking up that sidewalk, it was all out in the yard, and it was almost like a wave went through. As we passed by, they just get quiet and look. I mean, they was cussing and hollering and everything else, but as we go by, they just quit. And as we went into the house, it was packed with people, and all of a sudden, it was real loud, and it just went... We went in there, and we... paid our condolences to the family, you know, and we told them the church had fixed his food for him, you know, and they wanted me to preach the funeral, so I had to find out a few things. And then we left out there, and I'd never seen that. Now, I've been around a lot of people, I'd never seen that. And we got in the car, and of course we didn't talk about why we were there, but after we got in the car and got going down the road, I said, Pastor, tell me something. He said, what? I said, you got to remember, I was a young preacher. I said, what just happened back there? He said, what do you mean? And I kind of went through what I went through with you. He said, brother, it wasn't you. It was God. Amen. He said, they didn't know it was God on you or us. Said, but they felt God when we got there. And the peace of God come with us. And as we went through that house, the peace of God went through us. The Lord Jesus Christ was with us. And those people didn't know what to say. So they said nothing. But they felt His presence. Amen. Now they thought it was you or us. But it wasn't us. It was Him. Amen. And we forget that. We as believers, we forget we have that. When we're not forgetting it, people will walk up to us and say, you're a Christian, aren't you? When we keep it on our mind, people walk up to us and they'll say, you're different. There's something different about you. See, they don't know God. They don't know the peace of God. They don't know the mercy of God. They don't know the long-suffering of God. They don't know the presence of God. But Jesus Christ with you, they know it. They just don't know what it is. And see, you're waiting to heaven to get that, waiting until you get to heaven to get that. And you've already got it. And you ought to walk in it. And you ought to enjoy it. And you ought to be thankful for it. And you ought to use it to influence others. Because listen, when you go to heaven, you'll get to be in His full presence, but there won't be nobody there for you to influence. Nobody will get saved after you get to heaven because of you. You better think about these things now.
Amen. Come on, bro.
Keep His commandments. Obey His word. Enjoy His presence. And then last but not least, and I'm not going to turn there, but 1 John 2:5, I'll read it to you. 1 John 2:5, he says this. But whosoever keepeth His word, in him verily
is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in Him.
Now, when you get to heaven, don't you think it'll be a perfect love place? There's no heartache, no heartbreak. There's no disappointment. There's no sin. It's all perfect peace and perfect love. But we can have perfect love right now. You see, as a child of God, love moved into your heart the day you got saved, because God is love. And He said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I'll come in to him and sup with him," He said. So He moved in that day. So the love of God should be in there.
Yes, amen. Thank you, Lord.
Now, if you've got it, it's evident. Here's what I'm afraid of. A lot of people say they're Christians, but they're caustic. They're critical. They're mean. They're hateful. They're unforgiving. That's not the love of God. God didn't treat you like that.
Amen.
Come on. Amen. God loved you in spite of who you were, and He keeps on loving you in spite of who you are sometimes.
Amen.
And as a child of God, we ought to, He said, love one another. Well, I quit drinking liquor. That's wonderful. There's a lot of lost people, though, that quit drinking liquor. They're going to hell. They're not saved just because they quit drinking liquor.
Come on now.
Yes. Well, preacher, I give a lot of money to the church. A lot of lost people give money to church. They're going to hell. They're not saved.
Amen.
It's the love of God spread abroad in our heart that ought to be manifested through us and have a little bit of heaven right down here. You know that people work with you, they ought to have a little bit of heaven. You know people that work with you ought to have a little bit of heaven? Because a little bit of heaven is the love of God right now. And they're not going to experience that anywhere other than in the presence of a child of God. Not the love of God. And see, people's waiting to get to heaven to experience the love of God. March 5th, 1978, the love of God wrapped around me on that sixth pew on the left-hand side. He wrapped His arms around me. I ain't never had a man hug me in my life. And God, the Holy Ghost, hugged me that day, wrapped His arms around me. He just about drug me down the aisle, and I got saved. I received the Savior that day. I was born again that day, and the love of God moved in, and the hate from this world moved out. You looking at, hey, if you don't want your feelings hurt, you don't want to be disappointed, and you don't want to be talked about, lied on, don't become a Baptist pastor. I've been lied on. I've been accused of everything but painting black babies white. That's the only thing I've never heard that I've done. It's the truth. This black guy I worked with one time told me I was a bigot. I said, "How many people did you take to church this past Sunday?" He said, "Well, just me and my family." I said, "I had 60 kids on my church bus, and 30 of them was black. Who's prejudiced now?" The love of God comes in. It changes a lot of things. You don't have to wait till you get to heaven. You can have heaven on earth. You know, most Christian homes are nothing but hell on earth. Fussing, fighting, cussing, unforgiving, unfaithful, lying. But God said, if you'll keep my commandments and you'll do what I tell you, you follow me, I'm going to give you heaven, but I'm going to give you a little bit of heaven right now.
Amen.
And Israel is a perfect testimony of what God's done for His people. Besides heaven. Heaven's going to be a wonderful place. It's for eternity. I understand that. I'm looking forward to it. But you know, I want to enjoy a little bit of this life too.
Amen.
I mean, I'm going to heaven, but if you're getting up a busload tonight, I'm not wanting to go. I want to enjoy a little bit here. I want to spread the word while I'm here. I want to be a blessing here. I want to be a testimony here. I want to share some love of God here. People stand up and say, "I'd die for Jesus. I'll die for Him." You won't even live for Him. You don't even enjoy what He's giving you right here. How are you going to die for Him?
Come on, man. Yeah, that's good.
Amen? Yeah. Say amen right there.
Amen. Amen.
I knew you could do it. A little bit of heaven on. I'm going to live this week and enjoy it. Amen. You're going to be miserable if you want to. But please don't tell me. I'm tired of people walking up to me at church and saying, "Preacher Ron, did you hear about so-and-so? He got cancer. He had a car wreck and chopped both his legs off. And his wife left him. His dog died. He lost his truck and his house." Shut up! I don't hear all that. I want you to come here and say, "Did you hear about so-and-so? Hey, he had a wreck, but he's alive and well. Amen." He got saved. Amen. I'm going to enjoy this week. I can see it right now. I hope you do too. Let's stand.